me again to Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians in the 9th chapter and at the last verse. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Sought a little to look at these words in the morning of the day, trusting we were led of the Spirit of the Lord as we contemplated these words a little in the light of the theme of the season, even the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we gathered round that manger scene in faith to see this unspeakable gift of God. It will ever remain unspeakable. And so I reminded you this morning, not that we cannot speak about it, not that we are to remain silent, but simply that it is inexhaustible. It's unfathomable. And that constitutes in itself the fact of its being an unspeakable gift, for who can define it? Who can begin to grasp, who can begin to feel the wonder that is embraced? There never was an event such as this. I'm trying to contemplate a little with our friends at Grove this afternoon this fact. There never was a greater scene than this. You may say, to remind your friends then, you may say, but surely are you putting this above the death of Christ, to the agonies of Christ? Yes, well, for the moment. For this simple reason, the death of Christ, the sufferings of Christ were dependent upon something. This wasn't. There would have never been the death of Christ if there had never been the birth of Christ. So the birth, so the death and the sufferings, the resurrection and ascension, they're all dependent upon this. But this is dependent upon nothing. Except, of course, the covenant purpose of God. But that, again, is dependent upon none. God doeth as he will. And he gave his only begotten Son. And for that reason, I'm not drawing unnecessary distinctions, God knows, and I wouldn't for one moment detract from the amazing wonder of his sufferings and all that they meant, both to him and to you and I as poor sinners. But I repeat, friend, here is the greatest. If God had never given his dear Son, there would never have been any salvation by any means, whatever. Unspeakable. Angels, why? Oh, how blessedly does the Spirit of the Lord set these things in his holy word, and I find through the medium of this same apostle the reminder that angels desire to look into these things. And if I interpret that rightly in my poor estimation, if they desire, it's an implication that they didn't grasp. They desire to look into them. Are angels or poor sinners here below who can begin to fathom, to discern the beauty, the glory, the singularity of this aspect of the gift as it is unspeakable? We try to look a little at some aspects of this that I needn't go over again this evening. But there are one or two things more. Not that I shall exhaust the aspects of the unspeakable the character and nature and fullness of this gift, for there's an ocean full of them, but I would tarry just a moment or two longer. We've looked at the unspeakable aspect of it in its greatness, so great, greater than all else, unspeakable in its preciousness, yes, in its rarity, yes, we looked at that a little, in its suitability, in its suitability. Ah, friend, whoever you may be, wherever you may be, this is suited to you. Be you saint or sinner, be you seeking soul or careless and indifferent, this is suited. God's gift is suited to poor sinners. Oh, have you and I been brought to know it in the glory of that unspeakable aspect of it in that respect? It's unspeakable in its freeness. Why did God give it? We shall never know, save that it pleased him so to give. The necessity of this gift, well, we can comprehend that a little when taught of the Spirit of God, and when we look within our own heart and see something of our own depravity and of our need, the necessity of it. Neither is there salvation in any other. Simple words, but profound truth. For there's none other name under heaven, spanning the whole universe. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The necessity of it. And God saw this necessity, and in infinite mercy provided. But look again at this for a moment or two, for I feel I must dwell here a little longer. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And here in this gift, I know in all the emanations of it, but here is the source of it. Here is the beginning of it, the unspeakable aspect of it in the revelation of the love of God. Now, where do we go from here? Yes, here's a fullness without bottom, without brim, without shore. Unspeakable. Who can begin to define the love of God? Particularly when it is revealed in this way and manner. One can almost almost understand loving something that is lovable. But here there's nothing to love whatever. The whole world lay in utter wickedness. There was not a vestige of merit anywhere. None righteous, no, not one. And yet God loved. I don't know how it is with you, my dear friends, but when I try to say a few things on these lines, I marvel. I really marvel that we don't spend all our time, every moment, in trying to sing praises to God. And yet how poor, how infrequent, how meaningless are our thanksgivings, my dear friends. Well, might the apostle say, perhaps saying it because of the absence of it, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Here in the manger, here in the form of a little babe, is the revelation not only of what God thinks, but the measure with which he loves. Oh, I can only repeat again the words of the hymn writer, love so amazing, so divine, demands my song, my life, my all, unspeakable, yes, in the love that is revealed. Oh, friend, if we only are enabled of the Spirit of God, I was going to say, to be brought to see it, but let's get further than that. If only the Spirit of the Lord leads us into some contemplation of this wonderful love, then it can get any further than that. That'll show to us the necessity. That'll show us the suitability. That'll show to us the preciousness of it. Love. I know I've said it, we can't get any further, can we, when our God by His Spirit is lost in the human vocabulary to convey it. God so loved that He gave. You can't get further. But on my soul such love, on such love my soul still pondered. Love so full, so rich, so free. Say, while lost in holy wonder, why, O Lord, such love to me? Thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift, love. And think too of the mercy that is mingled with it. For you cannot sever these two. We sever for the purpose of consideration, but I cannot see, oh God save, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I cannot see even God loving the unlovely unless there's mercy mingled. It must be sure. It is of His mercy that He loved. He loved because He would be merciful. Oh yes, and here is unspeakable mercy. I can only say, my dear friends, you'll understand this, and I shall understand this only as we're given to see something of ourselves. Then we shall mark. Then we shall realize what this one word, unspeakable, means. The imponderable. It is significant that this is the only place in the whole Scripture where you have this word. Now, having said that, let me qualify, because you'll probably find fault with me. There are two other passages in our authorized version where this word is used. But it carries not the same significance in the original Greek word. There's no other word like this. No other. And what other word can there be that can be used of anything else save this gift, this wondrous gift of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ through the mystery of the medium of a babe? As I said this morning, no halos round His head. Nothing to distinguish this babe from any other babe. He was made like unto His brethren. I don't call to mind anything much of when I was a babe, but I don't imagine I was born with a halo down the head. He was made like unto His brethren. The only exception was sin. Is the mystery of it. But this is the only thing that can bear and carry the designation of being completely unspeakable. Mercy. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You can put many alternative words with that, I know. So it's of the Lord's love that we're not consumed. It's of the Lord's sacrifice we're not consumed. It's of the Lord's many, many other things we're not consumed, but here is the divine word. It's of the Lord's mercy. And coupled with that are the testimony given also, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. The prerogative is in His hands. There is no power There is no principle whatever upon which he can be commanded to show mercy. None can stay his hand or say, "What doest thou?" But none equally can command him. There is no ground upon which authority can be used in any sense to force him. He will do as he will. Not arbitrarily, but mercifully, condescendingly, graciously, to poor sinners. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. But let us go on one further consideration of this, and let's take the wider view, can we? Not only to tarry at Bethlehem's manger, but to look down the vista of time. This scene took place 2,000 years ago. And for all I know, or anyone else knows, it may go on for another 2,000 years. Our times are in his hands. None knoweth when he, the Son of Man, shall come again. But it's unspeakable in its results. I love that closing chapter of Mark's Gospel that reveals this so blessedly. He reveals in his resurrection glory himself to first to Martha, and the message is, "Go and tell my disciples." And a little later, they were to go and tell. And then those who they went and told were to go and tell. And so it has been now for 2,000 years. Nobody, I believe, under heaven knows up to the present time what have been the fruits of this unspeakable gift. Of that I am assured. As I have said already and would repeat it, if time goes on for another 2,000 years, nobody will know. I know this, as God has declared in his word, that the ultimate results will be a number that no man can number. All flowing out of the babe of Bethlehem. Not that he came in the hope that a few sinners might be saved, but he came determined to save. He came with a set purpose to save. And at last, though the number be a number that no man can number, he will present everyone faultless and say, "Here are my Father, and those whom thou hast given me, not one of them is lost." The unspeakable gift. I say, radiating from that scene that then, 2,000 years, was confined to a little stable behind the inn in Bethlehem, and now today covers the earth. Result. Because the government is upon his shoulder, but all thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift, because of the results. There are results, my dear friend, and there will yet be results. If we take our eyes away from all the gloom and all the shadows and all the thunders and storms that rage around us in the world today, and let us remember that he's still running. What were those lovely words we read this evening? Familiar? Yeah. Well, let's go back to familiarity, shall we, as we gather up afresh the glory of the declaration that God has set in his truth for our edification and for our comfort. "Behold my servant whom I hold. Mine elect in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. Bruised reed shall he not break, smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. And so you go on down the chapter. Amen. Glorious divine security. Nothing can vary, nothing can hinder the unspeakable gift and the glory of its results. But look at this in the sense of the personal enjoyment of it. What results have you derived, my dear friend? What benefits have come to your poor soul through this unspeakable gift? I'm not going to dwell long upon them, for they're so familiar with us. But, oh friend, let us go back to recall to memory and sit again to muse while we realize that out of this unspeakable gift there came to us sovereignly, mercifully, graciously, lovingly, that seal of pardon. You say that comes through the blood of Christ. I say it comes through Him. Through Him. For He grew in stature as a man. He came to suffer, bleed and die. He came to be despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, yet He came to save. This is the medium, my dear friend. Inseparably connected, of course, as we must repeat, from His sufferings and His death, resurrection, ascension and glory, that through this medium comes to your poor soul pardon. Oh, friend, unspeakable. Can you begin to define what it is? Can you begin to define what it means to you? When wrought upon the soul in the sweet softening influences of the Spirit of God, and we're brought calmly, quietly, prayerfully, and humbly to consider this unspeakable blessing that comes through the unspeakable gift, pardon, even if I don't go any further than that. For remember, at one time you lay inescapably under the condemnation of a broken law. There was no means whatever of escape. It had held you in an iron grip and you could never get away from it. And this unspeakable gift, this glorious person said, I've come not only to deal with you, I've come to deal with the law. I've led captivity captive. I know that includes Satan, of course it does. It includes the law that held me righteously, justly, by the pronouncement of its condemnation, and it demanded its payment. And they couldn't begin to find the wherewithal to meet that demand. He came and said, I'll deal with it. For He came as the representative of His people. He came to stand in their room, place and stead. He came to be their substitute. Was my late pastor once was rather fond of saying, substitution. What is it? He stood in my place, room and stead. Yes, he said, it means all that. But substitution means He became me. He became me. He stood where I stood. He bore the load that I bore. He endured the shame that I should have endured. He endured the eternal judgment that should have been mine. Pardon. Now blessed jewel that you carry in your breast as the unspeakable God, gift of God, through the medium of the unspeakable gift of his dear Son, that to your poor soul do you realize what you've got. Do any of us realize? Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more. Oh, that there might be a little more response, my dear friend, to the glories of Jesus, the wonders. I don't know how it is with you, my dear friend, but sometimes I try to consider what he must think. As he inclines his ear, if only to catch a little distant, faint word of thanksgiving, and it's silence everywhere. When the whole world should be throbbing with praise and gratitude, results, pardon, death, reconciliation. I'm not going to differentiate between these. The Jews are as great as one another. I know one is dependent upon the other, for you cannot be reconciled until you're pardoned. But so surely as you're pardoned, you'll be reconciled. Reconciled God. I would I had grace to set these things forth like Paul, writing to the Hebrews, sets before us through the medium of the priesthood. And there he reminds us that this glorious, dear Redeemer, this unspeakable gift, endured so much as to open a way whereby we might come with boldness, to the throne of God. Not that you may rush haphazardly and thoughtlessly into his presence, but you may come reconciled to God. Wonderful thing. Wonderful treasure. What a wonderful privilege. I say again in this, as I would say in all the avenues of consideration, if your poor soul and mine could only really grasp what these things mean, what these things are, that are our merciful privilege and possession in the wonders of grace, reconciliation to God. And remember, my dear friends, these things are permanent, not as amongst men. And the hymn writer says, earthly friends may fail and leave us, one day soothe, the next day grieve us, and how true it is. We're reconciled one moment, the next moment we're as far off as ever we were, needing reconciliation again. Not so. Once reconciled, forever reconciled to God. Because that which constituted the separation, that which must needs bring separation, is completely removed. I say, here's some of the aspects of the unspeakable aspect of this gift of God. We should be dwelling a lot about gifts probably tomorrow. Hope you haven't had them already. Friend, do you know what this unspeakable gift is? Will you wake in the morning and with earnestness rush down the stairs to see what is awaiting for you in the way of parking? Friend, can I put it this way? Will you wake in the morning and rush to your knees to bless him for an unspeakable gift that was ever revealed, let alone for the salvation that was accomplished, of an unspeakable gift that brought such glorious treasures and wonders. Oh, as I've said many times, friends, I've got a message, but I've got no power to set it forth. Who can reconcile to God the infinite, the majestic,
the hulling, the heart searching. We can stand before him, reconciled, brought into sonship. Let's get a little nearer to him. Reconciled, yes, I can be reconciled and stand at a distance, but brought into a living relationship. Sons of God. I can only repeat, my dear friends, my poor lips, my poor mind can't grasp, can't conceive, can't hear the words. If you and I could only realize what these things mean. Sons of God. Through this unspeakable gift. That's what he came to procure, friends. This babe, this wondrous babe, came to give his life a sacrifice. And the Father says, I'm going to accomplish it, and in order to accomplish it, I'll give all that I have. My own well-beloved Son, made sons of God. These are some of the results. Heirs of God. Heirs of God. Friend, you've got an inheritance laid up in store. Yeah. And none can rob you of it, my dear friend. There are no contingencies attached to this inheritance. There are no life interests in between. Oh, I've seen so many in business circles in days of old. And there's been a life interest, and my word, haven't they watched their life too? I don't want to be unkind, but as they never rested in a human heart the thought, I wish he'd hurry up and die so I can come into it. Nobody can rob me of this, my dear friend. There's no contingencies, there's no ifs and buts and peradventures. You're beginning to grasp or see a little, if only to see the glory of this word, unspeakable. I don't wonder it's unspeakable. I find that so literal. Unfathomable, yes. For where's the mind that can begin to fathom? Incomprehensible. Sons of God. Joint heirs of God. Joined heirs with Christ. Can God go no further? Can God go no further? Well, that is the testimony of his word. And were it not so that it is enshrined in the sacred page of Holy Writ, my dear friend, you might well question it. The possibility of it. Joined heirs with Christ. I tried, I believe, previously, on former occasions, to explain to you just what this means in biblical language, in Eastern understanding of it, for you won't understand it in Western spheres or ideas. It's no law of primogeniture in the East. Each son is equal. Sure, I've reminded you of that before as I've taken your minds to the parable of the prodigal son. There you've got a clear revelation of it. Joined heirs. A certain man had two sons, and they had half of his inheritance, half of each. The young one took his and squandered it. When the elder son came in and grumbled, the father said, all that I have is thine. You and your brother are joined heirs. He's had you. He squandered it. Joined heirs with Christ. I almost tremble, friends, to use the word, believe me. I do really. Some of these things I tremble to give utterance to them. But I repeat, were it not for the fact that here it is in the divine testimony, I dare not mention what Christ is entitled to, so am I. joined there with Christ. Take that home, my dear friends, and if that doesn't become unspeakable, then nothing else would. But you see how it goes from the height, from the depths and scales to the heights. We began with pardon, great mercy, great blessing, inexpressible possession. But when you got to the heights, you joined heirs with Christ. Not only in equality with Christ, no. You can never be what he is. But you can be on an equality in the sense of that which is yours through his atoning blood. Joined heirs with Christ. These are some, of the results that issue from this unspeakable good gift. These are some of the causes for giving thanks. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. But there's another consideration here that I must not omit. You will remember that I commenced in my opening remarks this morning by asking the question, what is it that the apostle really has in mind in the setting of these words? I ask that question purposely because I'm quite sure your own hearts responded as with mine directly I looked at these words which I felt the Lord had given me. I turned them up and began to look at them and I could see Christ immediately. I could see a dear Redeemer. I could see all the purposes of God as they gradually unfolded. Is this what the apostle had in mind? I'm going to suggest that it wasn't. Then is there something else that is unspeakable, that is an unspeakable gift? Look at the previous verse. Go back to verse 13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorified God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you which longed after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for the unspeakable gift, the grace of God that is in you. That is the unspeakable gift in this connection. I'm not putting it in on a level with the other. I'm not giving it the original word there necessarily, but the grace of God that is in you. Now look at this fullness that is couched in one word. I love the words of Scripture. You've learnt that, surely. If you haven't, well, you very soon will. Grace that is in you. The grace of God that is in you. And it embraces all that I have said and all that I've said all through my few years of ministry and all that has been said all down the ages. You may split it up and break it up into pieces and think of pardon, peace, reconciliation, sonship, heirship, joined heirship. But it's all governed by this one word. Grace. The grace that is in you. Grace, of course, the grace of God. There can't be grace from any other. Not true grace. Here is the jewel, friend, and it dwells within your breast and mine. It is a personal possession. Ah, friend, here's the mercy of it. This isn't a theme to be contemplated only, though God grant that it may be contemplated. But I happen to stand like a Moses was brought to stand
upon the mountain to view the landscape, or and stand and look within, you'll see the grace of God within. Here's the mystery. Here's the wonder. Here's the unspeakable gift, friend. I can only bring you back. Where were you when the Lord found you? And I want you to answer me that, and I dare not answer you that. In my experience, God only knows where I was when he found me. But go back to that scene just for a moment and just look at yourself. In all the rags and depravity, where sin had brought you, in all the defilement of it, and all of the just condemnation of it, as you were like the prodigal I just referred to, the younger son, the fine would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, but nobody gave him. There wasn't a hand that could be stretched forth to alleviate. There wasn't a voice that could breathe a word of comfort or consolation, and there you were. Without God, without hope. Now, in the wonder of this great and blessed revelation of the Christ of God, the dear Redeemer, through the babe of Bethlehem, the grace of God that is in you. Think about it, huh? Think about it. This is God's gift to your poor soul. There's no need for me to spend time or even to try to remind you that a gift can never be earned. It pleased God to grant to you, poor sinner, the grace of God. All that God had, all that Christ procured, all that pertained to an eternity of bliss, all that saved from the just deserts of hell and everlasting punishment. The grace of God that is in you, and Paul says, thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift. And that's where we need to come. It must be a personal matter. I can rejoice with any. Father, and I fain trust I would rejoice with any who are brought to possess the wonderful grace of God in salvation. I'll never bring any benefit to my soul unless I possess it myself. But the grace of God that is in you. I know he's talking to these Corinthians, but I believe he's looking round at each one of them. The grace of God that is in you. What sinner this evening, do you know anything about this? Saint of God, do you realize what is yours? Do you see this unspeakable aspect? You haven't begun to grasp it, have you? You long to feel it, but you can't. It's beyond human conception. It's inexhaustible, it's unfathomable, it's incomprehensible, it's everything. Unspeakable, but thanks be to God for it. Just a word in conclusion upon this call to thanksgiving. How are we to give thanks? Well, you might say, well, you sing his praises, is that all? Just very briefly, there are three aspects of this, I believe, that we should consider. Thanks be unto God. Our first description of praise must be a heart praise. God save us from a mere mockery with our lips.
a mere formality. I know I've quoted it many times, and I have to come back to it so many times, as it searches the heart, then, as this all-searching eye that reads every heart says, this people draw near to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And methinks, my dear friend, sometimes, many times, the Lord has to say that of me as he looks down upon me. Thanks from the heart. This is a heart matter, friend. This is not an empty meaningless expression. This is unspeakable in the sense of the gift. And where can words be found to pass the lips that can adequately express that which can be acceptable to him? Oh, that the thanksgivings might arise from our hearts first, the heart touch under the sense of his amazing goodness, his amazing condescension, his amazing love, amazing mercy, amazing pity and everything else. Yes, from the heart first. And then as the heart is moved, so the lips will move. I want the heart to govern my lips, friend. I say, when the heart is moved, the lips will move all right. You won't be able to keep it back, my dear friend. So I like the figure given of the master in the gospel. No man put his new wine in an old bottle. Lovely figure. Oh, he says, you put new wine in old bottles, it'll burst them. It will. Oh, and God make it so spiritually to us. New wine in these poor hearts, these old natural hearts, it'll burst them asunder. But this new wine, can I put it this way? Don't misunderstand, it ferments. Living is pressing forward. Something's got to go for it. Something's got to go for it. Say, when the heart is moved, when the heart is stirred, your lips will go all right. They won't go going mechanically, friend. It won't be vain repetition. It won't be any form or custom mingled with it. There'll only be one thing that'll worry you, and that is that you can't express what you feel within. Give thanks. Thanks be to God. With the lip. And then there's one other aspect, I believe, of it. Thanks be to God in the life. In the life. Oh yes, you can praise God with your life, my dear friend. In silence. You can tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour you have found without coming and preaching, friend. But in such a way that others will be convinced you've been with Jesus. Others will take knowledge that there's something about him, there's something about her. I can't just understand it, but they're different, you know. They're different. Why, my dear friends, in natural days, particularly the speaker, if you said something out of place, he would flow. One of my failings in my youth, a vile temper. Now, I know it tears my heart asunder to hear them blaspheme, but I won't be with them. I won't join with them. And I'll have to say, well, I don't know. Like this dear apostle of old, they crushed him, they put him in prison, they beat him, they did every conceivable thing. He never retaliated. He gave thanks to God in his life for the grace of God that was in him. This has got to be done, my dear friend. One way you and I, we can all do this silently.
not depending upon ourselves, of course, ever seeking that he will enable us so to live. God, make my life a little light within the world to glow. How we learned it, almost at our mother's knee, as children. Yes. Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift of Jesus. What does he mean to you and I, friend? Is he the one thing needful? Is he the preeminently precious? The word says, unto you therefore which believe, he is the preciousness. Is he that to you, friend? Is he? Do you love him? Do you long to get closer to him? Do you long to be able to serve him more faithfully? I do, friend. Mourns my heart many times. I go home many a Sunday evening, beloved. Believe me, I'm not making confessions. I'm not conveying to you secrets. But I go home many a Sunday night. And I have to say, Lord, I've utterly failed. But my failings at least can't prevent your mighty power. You can use the foolishness of preaching to accomplish thy purpose. And all to be enabled serving that. Thanks. Thanks be unto the Lord. But our thanks being rendered unto the Lord. These are the questions that throb within the breast. Am I responding to him in the way, to the degree, and as often as I ought? For the grace of God that is in you, thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. All that the Lord will bring us there. Oh, that there might be a little feeling of heart, a tenderness of spirit, a little humble response to him. As I quote, as I close the words again, trust with grace to enter into them, particularly the latter part. Do not I love thee, O my Lord? Behold my heart and see. Cast each hated idol down that dares to rival thee. That's the message of the season, friend. God's unspeakable gift. And now go on. Be your life as old as Methuselah. Go on trying to fathom the unfathomable. Trying to speak the unspeakable, trying to comprehend the incomprehensible. And still, when you've finished all, it will take an eternity which will be all too short to utter half his praise. I pray God may give you and I, each of us, individually and collectively, to know very sweetly the meaning, the sacred, sublime, the precious, glorious meaning of the season. And then perhaps when we've grasped and been given to feel a little of the sweetness of that, our eyes will look onward to distant shore and we shall say, even so come, Lord Jesus.